Brought to you by the Greek Broadcasting Network. The views and opinions presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Don't change that dial. The doctors are in the house, live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen up, doctors. Jesus is on the air.
Oh, that was great, Paul.
You're right back to the dial?
I'm back to the dial
again?
Yes.
We missed that dial. We had it. Trevor, the dial is back. What are we going to do?
They took the radio with the dial away.
Oh, okay.
It's not in there anymore.
Listeners are not aware that you have a fetish about dials.
That's my upbringing.
And that you go after it every week. You go after it. Don't turn that dial.
And that was, what's your name?
Dr. Palmer.
And I'm Dr. Anthony Chifo. And we have Dr.
Balagad
with us. A great guy from the Philippines who's doing a tremendous job with evangelizing for Jesus with the Philippine people. And the Philippine people are so religious. I just love them. Welcome, doctor. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, what are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about the good doctor.
You're so boring. You just talk about the same thing all the time. Romeo, what are we going to do with him? You know?
I'm here. I'm invited here today. And I really appreciate to be with you guys. It's raining. It's not the best day to come here. But I think the Lord brought me here.
I think so too.
He did. And it's good because the people are in. They're not out there. They're not going to the beaches, so they're going to be listening.
Yes, exactly.
And you have a religious community, really, yes, over at St. Killian's called BLD.
Correct.
What does that stand for?
Well, BLD is a Filipino word for Bukas Loob Sa Diyos, which means in
Say
English,
it again.
Bukas Loob Sa Diyos.
Okay.
Which, translated in English, open your heart to God.
Wow.
That's the English translation. Wow.
And I've been to your group, and I see how wonderful they are, really. You get a nice crowd. You get adults, and you also have the teenage community.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It's a family that opens their hearts to God. Tell us a little bit more about how you got into this, et cetera.
Yeah, this is a covenanted community where we conduct, we have a mission and vision, and we have also this charism. And this was founded back in the Philippines in the 80s, and it spread all over the world. Hong Kong, Canada, New Jersey, Long Island, Reno, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Las Vegas lately. So it's becoming a really an active covenant community where we evangelize people. And
what is a covenant community?
A covenant community is we have charisms that we have to follow.
Right.
And this is basically under the auspices of the Diocese of Rockville Center as well, and mm-hmm. in any other places all over the world. And the charism is for... This is our response to the challenges of our particular place, time, and culture. First, in our families.
Okay.
In our families, we will evangelize families and build communities of faith through encounters, Life in the Spirit seminar, and discipleship formation. Life in the Spirit seminars.
That's Palmer.
And discipleship formation.
Wonderful.
That's wonderful.
So we will give formations on personal and family prayer, pro-life values, Catholic social teachings, and stewardships. That's the family part.
And you run a school almost.
Right, almost. Actually, it was a joke that because we have CMP programs where it's too long, 3 years, you're like one semester short to become a deacon if you complete that.
Okay.
Is that right? Really?
Wow.
Wow. That's. Yeah. Where is this located? Where do you have this? Where do you meet?
At St. Killian's?
We do our worship at St. Killian's.
Oh, you do? Oh, mm-hmm. St. Killian's. I love St. Killian's.
St. Killian's, yeah.
In Farmingdale.
And we have been doing this since 1997 here in Long Island.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can I give a commercial? I'm going to be there Sunday, June the 2nd. I'm going to be doing the street fair there.
Oh.
And so it's right around the corner on Main Street, the street
right.
fair. So
right.
come and say hello to me.
Okay.
Come and see me.
Yeah.
It'll be on Main
tomorrow?
Street, June the 2nd.
Oh, 2nd?
Yeah. It'll be the street fair for the fire department.
Okay.
And St. Killian's is right around the corner. I go to Mass there.
Mm-hmm.
Doing
and
the street fair.
And St. Killian's is where you worship.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But you don't all live in that parish.
Actually, my office is not too far from it. So basically, I would consider that still my parish.
Oh. Okay. Okay. You're allowed. That's good.
So the second one is for our building communities. So first, the family.
Okay.
The building communities where we actively participate in the mission of the church in accord with our God-given gifts.
Mm-hmm.
That's our community. And then for our country. Country here where we live right now.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Which our objective here is we will work on poverty alleviation program through scholarship, housing for the poor, and advocacies for life, environment, and good governance. So that means that we do soup kitchens, do mission works. We also do outside the country for mission works.
Mm-hmm.
We have also what we call the GK program, where we build homes for the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Who cannot afford.
Wow.
So these are very involved projects, but that's our charism.
Wow.
It's very active, and then you get the whole family involved. That's what got me.
Well, well, what's going
on? I met Monsignor Sunsing, wasn't he?
Monsignor Sunsing now is our spiritual director.
I know.
Who happened to be the pastor, the first Filipino pastor in Long Island, appointed by Bishop Murphy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
In Valley Stream.
Valley Stream, yeah, I know. Right. Once he got there, you know what one of the first things he did?
Yeah.
A Life in the Spirit seminar for his parish.
Uh-huh.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, I found the Philippine people to be very spiritual, very religious. I just love them. A lot of them came to my house. I have masses at my house. A lot of them come to my house for masses and stuff like that. And they're just great. They're really spiritual.
Tony has a house in Valley Stream, and I told him he has to renovate it. He has to put up the ceiling with a great big cross on top.
That would be great. Then maybe...
And maybe you could work out of
maybe
it.
Maybe we can use your place as a worship.
Oh, absolutely.
What if we do that?
Absolutely.
You know, we'll raise funding for that.
Well, I would love to, because... I mean, and even in Mass, doing Mass at St. Catherine, a lot of them come over to me and they hug me, and they're just great.
No, it's really, you know, when you're involved with prayer group like this, it just rekindles your spirituality.
Absolutely.
How did you get involved, Romeo?
Well, you know what? I'm a physician, and I thought I'm all, you know.
You got it all together.
Yes, but you know what? There's something missing. There's something really missing. So when I got involved with this, I was really, one of my classmates in medical school invited me to do the emergency encounter. So, and then eventually Life in the Spirit seminar. So after the Life in the Spirit seminar, that's where I got really how the Spirit worked on me.
Right. And once it works on you?
Then I didn't even want to work on it because I don't have time for that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But believe it or not, I don't know.
That's right.
God worked in a mysterious way. Here I am.
And once you say yes, fasten your seatbelt.
They will be done.
Because he has a plan for you.
Exactly.
And God bless you.
Uh-huh.
And your wife is also involved.
Yes.
And she's a pediatrician.
She's in a pediatrician too. So it's really nice. It's a nice feeling when you have other things working on humanity and integrated with the spirituality. It just gives you that feeling of...
it's a fulfillment.
Know. Correct.
It completes your life.
Exactly.
Just about.
Yeah.
How'd you get your kids to go?
Oh, I'm really very thankful to God because I get them involved. They go to the ministry where also they play the keyboards.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
So it become really a family oriented type of
That's family values.
Yeah. And thank the Lord because
praise Jesus. Because many of them, no matter how religious the parents are, just can't get their children to get involved, to get going with it. It's a chore.
Yeah. But of course, still prayer is very powerful, and I believe in that.
But you also teach.
Yes.
And that really is the key, because you have an instructional program that goes on for a three-year cycle.
Right.
And that's wonderful. You give the people get the feeling. I love Karen when they get the feeling. But they need more than just the feeling. Yes. They need to know what God wants them to know.
Yes. They have to fill in a knowledge about God.
Yeah.
Because what's happening now is we are like a cafeteria Catholic. We just know the Hail Mary and that's it.
Yeah.
We have to go deeper.
Yeah. You know, practicing Catholics, but they're not in the game. They're just practicing.
Exactly.
I know what you're talking about.
Right.
What are some of the things that you teach?
Well, you know what? We have a lot of modules. We teach about Christian love, Christian faith. We teach about stewardship. We teach about empowerment, you know. We teach about how to conquer evil, you know.
Wow.
The blood and body of Christ. So we have a lot of...
Now, these modules, are they available to the public or you just use them for your teaching?
Well, actually, this is formulated back in the Philippines under a Jesuit priest who used to be the initial, you know, founder of the community. And then it becomes, you know... So these modules, we really have to be... This is part of the formation program when you come in for an encounter. It's not just coming here and then that's it. We have to continue to, nurture you.
So it's an actual program laid out.
Correct.
A format followed, a curriculum that's followed.
Exactly, until which time you understand really the true meaning of your faith.
Now, all the Philippine people, they're aware of this?
Not really.
Okay, so if you're a Philippine out there.
Not only Filipinos.
Oh, remember, anyone could go?
Anybody.
Anybody.
Oh, that's wonderful.
We have Irish, we have Italians.
Oh, my gosh.
This is open.
Romeo, you let the Irish in. There goes the whole community.
Yeah, it's open.
Oh, and how about the Italians? Let the Italians in? You let the Italians come in, too?
Oh, yeah. We have Irish.
Oh, yeah, Irish.
We have people from Guyana.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's wonderful.
No, it's open.
Wow,
we
great.
Are not selectively for Filipinos.
And they get in through the Friday night program?
Yes. The problem is, cultural-wise, some of the people here, they cannot stand that long prayer.
Right.
Yep.
Yes.
We stay so long and then we have fellowship.
Right.
So that's the whole issue here. And, you know, there is a reason why we do that.
To build community.
To build community, exactly. Yeah.
So that really is very, very
It's special. A lot of work, but it's very rewarding.
Oh, I'm sure Jesus is smiling down at on you guys. I'm positive of that.
Yeah. Actually, I was about to call you, but I said, well, this is a commitment to go to my granddaughter in New Jersey because rain is... No. This is very important.
So thank you.
Now I learned how to give priorities rather than giving excuses. Because I feel that guilt if I do that. Because once you have committed... Regardless.
Thank you so much. No. Praise Jesus. Thank you.
How does this carry over to your work in oncology?
Oh, it helps. You know why? I give you an experience. I have a terminal case where there is unforgiveness between the son and the father, who is my patient. And then there is no forgiveness at all until the patient starts to get coded, almost to die. So I said, hey, wait a minute. So finally, he recovered, and I called the son. We prayed together, explained the whole scenario, that we need this, we need that, for that little things when you were a kid. And it did work. Then he starts crying. And it touched me.
And the healing.
And these things happening.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
So you bring God into your practice.
Oh, yes.
Especially that, and the hematology as well.
Yeah. Especially when they're Catholics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I do that as a psychologist.
I have to be very careful, too, because some are also. So when I know that they're Catholics and I ask them, okay.
Right.
This is
That's wonderful. I mean, to have a deep Catholic doctor, that's like a gift.
I don't know how many, almost makes you want to get cancer.
Well,
but one good thing is we are all inundated with so many problems in our daily struggles. And once you incorporate their spirituality, they become so light and easy.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
But, I mean, it's so comforting to have a doctor that's a spiritual Catholic. You could talk together. They could hold the rosary.
Exactly.
Without a problem, holding the rosary while you're examining them. And my wife does that, and I do that. And, and sometimes they like it, sometimes they don't. But we feel free to do it with a Catholic doctor.
There's an organization called the Association of Christian Therapists. It's predominantly a Catholic group of doctors, nurses, psychologists, social workers, and they pray with their clients. I was on the board for that a number of years ago, and it's wonderful to see the power of prayer come into your practice.
We have so many stories of that.
I believe in that. I'm a firm believer in that.
Can I ask a question, Doctor?
Sure.
If someone wants to get in touch with you, would you mind giving the phone number of someone that's looking for a doctor?
I think they should call or go online to us. And I don't think it's a wise idea to put your phone number out over the radio.
It's up to you. But
for what? To help?
To help the patients.
If I can help people.
Okay.
Sure, certainly.
Certainly? Okay.
I have my office. I have a 1-800 number that they can call. Yes.
Would you give that, please?
It's really open. You can call Romeo Rambalaga, and they, you go into the internet, there is a 1-800 number, you can call them, and then they'll page me, and they'll return back.
That's great.
And this is service.
That's great. So what do? They go on the internet? And
well, actually, if you know the directory, Romeo Rambalaga, then...
How do you spell your last name?
B-A-L-A-G-O-T, Romeo.
Okay.
And...
Okay.
Just and the number comes up.
Then I said, the number comes up. 1-800 number.
Wonderful.
People calls me all over.
I got an instinct that there are people out there that are looking for physicians of your nature and your character and your demeanor. And this would be a gift for them. And so, and if they call us, is it okay to give your number out?
I have no objection with that.
Thank you.
I would certainly help people if they need me.
Thank you.
Do you hear stories from your people as to how they're drawn into BLD and how they get into this? Do they tell you?
Yes. One of those is some miracles that happen in their lives.
For example?
Some people on the verge of divorce because they cannot see face to face. So what happens now is when they enter the marriage encounter, they have dialogues. It's a long weekend, Monday, Friday, and Saturday. No, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's a long weekend where there is so much dialogues, sharings, and teachings. Spiritual director, the priest is there. And then they'll come up with something. And then after that, they'll go for LSS. Then there is some changes in their lives because they now start to understand each other's problems. So
many people, when they get a problem, lose hope.
Yes.
And they ask God, where are you? How come you're not part of this?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize he really is part of it.
Yes.
You know, I can't get over the number of times people are touched by God when the problems erupt in their lives, as they will.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing.
Well, the problem is people, when they encounter problems really heavy, they think it is a punishment of God.
Yeah.
But if you refocus and redirect them, that these struggles that you have are something that will keep you stronger and closer to God.
Right.
Then
yes,
you will understand better. But if nobody tried to pinpoint that, but that's the whole issue.
What you're saying is when we have these struggles, we don't realize the fruits behind these struggles, what God has in mind for us, the blessings that these struggles are happening, the pain, what the pain is being used for, maybe to free souls from purgatory.
Right.
But it's in the hands of God. And we don't realize the fruits behind that suffering.
It's just like the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. So if you follow that cycles, we all have passions, Then we die to it, and then there's a victory.
Yes.
Our life should revolve in that. That's why we have Christ.
Absolutely.
Jesus Christ.
And you know, when I pray, I listen and I write what I hear. And I got something this morning that kind of fits for people who are really hurting and don't know what to do.
Right.
And I'm going to read it. Tony, I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
Take my right as he made me executive producer.
I vote for him every year.
Okay.
And this is as if God were talking to a person in need. Mm-hmm. Just be with me. I'm dying to just be with you. Know me. Love me. Live with me within you. Stand taller, my love. Be set free by just being with me. Dance with me to my heavenly music. Be alive in me. Allow me to dwell in you. I'm here with you right now. I delight in you. I lift you up to me out of your desolation. Trust me. Love me. Walk with me. Allow my love to resurrect you with me in my new Jerusalem. Just for these few moments that we touch you with our love. How hard is it to just be with me? Cast your worries to our heavenly wind. Know that all concerns that you have are mine too. I know you. I choose to be with you. Relent. Repent. Come to me. Set you free. Just be with me. How? Just be with me quietly and gently. Give me you. I'll give you me repeatedly, episodically, internally. How do you know that what I say is true? You surrender to me daily. I will come alive in you. I will simply bowl you over with my heavenly love. I know just how to do this. I give you my heavenly kiss. I delight in sharing my love in you. Give me a try. Don't ask why. Don't hesitate. Open your heart to me. Allow me to shut down your mind for just a few minutes at the beginning of each day. Dear friend, I will write my love story on your heart regardless of what problem you're facing right now. I will give each day my heavenly start. I will refresh your spirit. I will come to your awareness. I will give you my peace. I delight in doing this. I will renew your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, and I will strengthen your will to freely choose me daily. You see, I know you inside out. I will let you see pieces of me. I will open your eyes of faith. I will remove the scales from your eyes. I will lead you to my waters of salvation from my sea of tranquility. I invite you to drink of my love. I open your heart by my refreshing flow of our truth in love eternal, and I will teach you our truth. I reset your time clock to forever in unity in love. I do all these things in just these few moments that you give me in time. I'm absolutely free. I charge nothing but the right to charge your spirit with my electric love. Listen to the words of this song now. It just flows.
I was lost when you found me here. You pulled me close and held me near. And I'm a fool, but still you love. I'll be a fool for the King of Love. You gave me wings so I could fly, and gave me a song to color the sky. And all I have is all from you, and all I want is all of you. It's grace, your grace. Your grace shines on me. There have been days when I've walked away, too much to carry, nothing left to say. Forgive me, Lord, when I'm weak and lost. You traded heaven for a wooden cross. And all these years you carried me. You've been my eyes when I could not see. And beauty grows in the driving rain. You're all of gladness in the times of pain. Your great joy.
About this for me is that you're from the Philippine background, you're Italian, I'm Irish, Trevor's what is the Pentecostal in some ways, okay, and what is it?
African American,
yes, but all of this melts away when we have our problems, because the grace of God comes in and touches each one of us in just the right way. Yeah. I cannot get over that. Absolutely. Just the right way.
Absolutely. And that was so beautiful, Dr. Palmer. It really was. And you
it's
know
hope.
What? And as you were reading it, I got in my mind, Jesus is truly the greatest love story ever told.
Absolutely.
Because his love for us comes down from his love from our father, his father. And it goes from his father to him to us.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Holy Trinity, which is celebrated tomorrow, by the way.
Sure.
And it was beautiful. Good job.
Well, it is. But, you know, it's more than just a good job. It's really just realizing that Jesus is operating on us.
Absolutely.
In our times of need.
Absolutely.
And if we surrender to him, we don't take the scalpel out of his hand and try to operate on ourselves.
You know, I can't believe you're saying that. It's so modest of you. And it's not your demeanor to be so humble and modest.
But that's what I have to learn.
That's why I love you, Dr. Palmer.
He's the anointed one.
The anointed, yes.
No, we just got to be very, very careful not to try to do God's job. And he knows best. And I'm sure you have seen that in your surgeries.
Oh, yeah.
I think all you have to do is to yield what is the leading
surrender.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Surrender. Correct. Surrender. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he'll
do
the rest.
I couldn't get over those words that he gave me this morning. Mm-hmm. And
it's beautiful.
They just fit.
They were
into
beautiful.
What we're talking about. Well, of course, I know where I think it comes from. Nobody has to believe it, but I know where I think it comes from.
And also thank God for sharing through the radio station that
I'm nuts.
Hope people able to,
because God is alive.
The word of God. Yeah.
He's alive. Don't you see that? He's alive.
He tells us all the time. If we listen, he'll tell us. I'm here.
I completely agree with you.
Yes. We need to stop. Get the noise away from us and listen.
That's right.
And he's talking to us like he talks to you.
And you have a saint of the day, and this is just for you. We're going to have a saint for today.
Romeo, this saint was in honor of you and all the Philippine
people. Thank you very much.
All the Philippine people.
And it's a pleasure to be with you here.
Wait a minute. Wait till you hear the saint.
Okay. Now, the saint is Lorenzo Ruz.
Yes.
He is the first Philippine saint.
Correct.
And I'm doing this in honor of all the Philippine people.
Thank you very much.
And to show our love and appreciation for their love and appreciation. That was Dr. Romeo.
It's God calling.
God calling. So Saint Ruz is the first Philippine saint venerated in the Roman Catholic Church. He's thus the first martyr of the Philippine people. He was killed for refusing to leave Japan and renounce his Roman Catholic beliefs during the prosecution of the Japanese emperor against the Christians.
In the 1600s.
The 1600s. Now, how did he wind up there? Let me tell you. Christians under the Japanese regime in the 17th century were under threat from the of being tortured and murdered. They wanted all the Christians to renounce their Christian heritage. He's the patron saint of the Philippines and the Philippine people. He was beatified by Pope John Paul II, but it wasn't in the Vatican that he was beatified. It was in Manila. Isn't that the capital of the Philippines?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
That's the only saint that was beatified away from the Vatican. That's how important this whole thing is. I'm going to go a little faster. And he was canonized in 1987 in Vatican City by John Paul II. And John Paul II commented that St. Ruth had to wait 350 years before he was canonized. But you know what? It was a well long wait because he's so honored and so well revered for staying steadfast with his Christian heritage. Besides being the first Philippine saint, he's the first person, as I mentioned, to be beatified outside of the Vatican. His feast day is September 28. His attributes is the rosary, always clasped in his hand, something like I do. That's his attribute. He always had the rosary in his hand. He came from a family. His father was Chinese and his mother was Philippine, but the father was very religious, and he taught St. Ruth's family values and God. And as a matter of fact, he married a Philippine woman, like his mother, and he had three children. He served as an altar boy in the convent in Biondo Church. He was educated by the Dominican friars. He earned the title of being a calligrapher. His handwriting was so great that he wrote birth certificates, baptism certificates, and death certificates for the church. And everything was great. Everything was fine. He was religious. He was practicing his religion. He praised Jesus. He loved the rosary. And they led a generally peaceful and religious and content life until one day in 1636, while working as a clerk in the church, St. Ruse was falsely accused of killing a Spaniard. And it looked like he was going to be convicted. So we sought asylum on board a ship with three Dominican priests. Those three Dominican priests are now Saint Antonio Gonzalez, Saint Gulamaro Corret, and Saint Miguel of Araraza, if I'm saying it right. They all became saints because they took the boat ride, the ship, from the Philippines to Japan. Little did they know that they were walking into a hornet's nest. Little did they know that Japan was against Christians. So as soon as they landed, they were arrested. And they were brought into a prison. And for 2 years, they stood in a prison and were tortured. And his companions faced different types of torture, one of which was insertion of needles inside their fingernails and stuff, you know, daily torture. And on September 27, 1637, they were taken elsewhere and were tortured by being hung upside down in a pit of water. And their temples were split open so that the blood would drip slowly until they either died of lack of blood or suffocation. Many died, some of them died after several days, but St. Rune died last. The method was supposed to be extremely painful, for the victims were bound, but they left one hand open so that when the victim decided he had enough, he could raise that hand and surrender and say, "I renounce Jesus, I renounce the Catholic faith." But none of them did. And so St. Ruse was the last person to die. And he died of suffocation. His body was cremated and his ashes were thrown into the sea. And according to witnesses, Ruse declared these words upon his death, quote unquote, "I am a Catholic and wholeheartedly do accept death for the Lord. If I had 1,000 lives, all these I shall offer to my Jesus and to my Lord. I am happy to die for my faith." He had been a receiver of miracles, and one of the miracles that he received that was honored towards his sainthood was that he had a 2-year-old girl, Cecilia, and she was suffering from brain apathy and was cured through the intercession of the family and supporters of St. Ruse that prayed to him daily. And then finally, she was declared cured of that brain.
Miraculously.
And it was undoubtedly through the total dedication and total love of St. Ruse.
And you know, I can really believe that he might be a saint for people with brain cancer.
Yes,
because
yes.
of what he experienced.
Absolutely.
And if any listeners have anybody in their family with brain cancer, mm-hmm. pray to him. Give the name again.
Saint Lorenzo Ruiz is how you say it.
Yeah. You know.
And there are prayers, by the way.
And the saints are all around us, and they'll listen.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
They are great intercessors, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Yes. And he's the patron saint of the Philippines, the poor, He's the patron saint of workers, the Philippine workers. He's the patron saint of altar servers, because he was an altar server. And by the way, I'm a cute little altar server too sometimes. And he is from the Archdiocese, the patron saint of the Archdiocese of Manila. And there are special prayers to him.
Yeah.
And if anyone is interested and they email us, I'll be happy to send it to them.
Okay, that's great.
Okay, so.
One of the things I really want to, I can't leave the Philippine community without remarking about their devotion to Mary. And I know that that's very big in your community.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
We have a Legion of Marys.
Oh, Legion of Marys, outrageous.
They're all over the island.
All over the place. And they're going.
And in fact, a lot of Filipino prayer groups, they bring the image of the Blessed Mother from house to house for novenas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So.
And before you came, we were talking to our friend Dr. Teresa, who does 2,000 Hail Marys on a regular basis in homes all over the island.
Yeah,
right. It's just phenomenal, the devotion that your community has.
But there are people that go to these homes, I mean like 20, 30 people.
Right.
And they actually say the Hail Marys, and it's being counted. And it takes maybe the whole day to finish 2,000 Hail Marys. And it's when you leave there, you feel Mary leaving with you. That's right. How powerful it is.
And in our religion, I know that there's a gift called unity in love to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And that once you open up a devotion to both hearts, that God touches you. And it's such a powerful committee to have around
absolutely.
You. Unbelievable stuff.
Absolutely. By the way, the Legion of Mary is constantly in contact with us. We've had
Tina Marie.
And we're going to have a deacon from Wisconsin that's in charge of the Legion of Mary that's going to be on our show shortly.
So. We have 60 Legion of Marys all over Long Island.
Yeah, and, it's big.
It really is. And, you know, your community has, to me, something that's missing in a lot of prayer communities, that educational piece. Because people have to know that you can go deeper into Jesus. That's what the bishop is calling everybody to do. Yeah. Belong to Jesus more deeply. And he's calling us. And I know from your community that they're doing it.
Yeah, especially reading the daily scriptures, very important to us.
Oh, absolutely.
That's how being fed.
Yes.
Because, you know, and we encourage people to subscribe to Magnificat because we have the daily readings every day, including reflections.
Yes.
That's like a monthly prayer book.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. It's a monthly, and it's nice. It gives the masses, the readings, and every mass.
And commentaries.
Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And commentaries, yeah.
Yes. The reflections, they're good.
I have a Bible. I have a Bible ministry. I give out free Bibles at St. Catherine's once a month, every first Sunday.
Yeah.
And I do have a lot of Philippine people that come over to me and ask, you know, Bibles and stuff like that.
Do you also promote adoration of the Blessed Sacrament?
Actually, that's part, but I think it's an optional also.
It's optional, right?
Yeah. It's basically more of evangelization to the encounters and do their formation.
Okay.
And then once they get formed, then they'll become also leaders and evangelize other people. So we just want to relay and transmit the message of God to them, and then in the same token, they do the same things.
That's your ministry, is evangelization.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. It really
is.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. And it spreads. I bet you it spreads like almost like wildfire.
Right. There was a letter emailed to me by a friend from St. Francis, which it says, "You could be." St. Francis, our Pope, says that it's better to be a nuisance and annoying to others if only to spread the word of God.
Yes.
Because
as
I said, you'll get martyred like Francis Ruiz. You got
like
martyred for him. So I think that's what the Pope is telling us, that it's rather become a nuisance sensor annoying to others only if your intention is to spread the word
of God. Spread the word of God.
Jesus
Christ. Yes.
And it's a one-on-one thing. You have to knock on the door.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
There's a story, and I hope I don't offend anybody by the story.
Oh, please, Palmer, please. Go easy on us.
It's about a Jehovah's Witness who was knocking on the door of his house day after day after day after day after day after continuous. And so finally the man said, all right, come in. You've been here every day. You know, come in, sit down. Now, all right, what is it you want to tell me? And the Jehovah's Witness said, I don't know. Nobody ever invited us in before.
That's funny.
Which is also true. I never invite them in.
But, you know, you're saying you got to invite Jesus in. Yeah. That's what we're saying through the whole program. Yeah. You've got to invite him in.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's and all that you can do.
And he's there.
And it's a challenge. It's not easy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a challenge, But isn't it wonderful that our God, our Savior, is there for us, just waiting for us to say, okay, come into my heart, and he'll be there. He's not pushy. He's not demanding.
Right.
But all he wants us to say is to surrender. Surrender to him.
And I want to read a little bit more of the meditation this morning.
What do you think, Doc?
Go ahead.
It fits with this.
Okay.
When just asking people to say yes to invite Jesus in.
Oh, right. I set it up for you.
Yeah, I know. Well, you do it all the time. Dear friends, listeners, this is for you. What a life I plan for you. I know that I will satisfy every desire that you have. Don't forget, I know you inside out. So I just give your soul a shout right now. I know you'll come to me. I see your past history. I know you belong to me. Together, we can rewrite your eternal history. Together, we can light up your world with the fire of my love. Together, we create a stir in your humanity that will never cease to guide you by our love. So listeners, right now, I give your humanity a shove. I release the power of my love in you eternally. I take away your limited human time-driven perspective. I demolish any trace of evil in you right now. Right at this moment, I eliminate evil's mischievous ways from you. I douse each spirit that tries to distract you from me with my waters of salvation. I make my waters of salvation like acid for each evil spirit. I sear it with the power of my love. I then close all openings in your wineskin so that you're free to just be with me daily. I know the pain you carry. I know how much you wonder where I am. And all I tell you quite simply is to stop thinking, stop analyzing, stop telling me what I must do for you. Just know that if you surrender to me, I will set you free, regardless of the pain you carry, to just be with me daily. how wonderful it is for us to be able to tell you these things over the radio. I, Jesus the Messiah, love you unabashedly. I am so forthright in you at this moment in time. I give you my divine mercy. I make you ready to wear my garment of love over your being now and forevermore. Yet I keep you alive in the world of man, even though you may be ill, even though you may be dying. I have work for you. I set your course on my sacred heart through the unity and love with the immaculate heart of my mother, Mary. I do not mince words. I speak truth. I delight in being able to be so free in you verbally over the radio. I say nothing new. I simply reiterate in your vernacular all that our Father teaches all hearts that surrender to me. My words are fully alive in Scripture, and I rewrite Scripture on your heart daily in terms that your limited humanity will understand. I make you mine now and forevermore. I draw you through our heavenly door. I know you will see more of what lies beyond our heavenly door. I invite you to cross over to our new Jerusalem daily in your walk in time spiritually and mentally. I will renew your spirit each time you freely choose to just be with me. And I infuse my love in your being, in love, with love, and through love. Thus, dear friends, just be with me, Jesus. Just be
wonderful
with me.
And it's all love.
Amen. It's all love. Love.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And healing love.
Yes. I have...
Go ahead. Sure.
I have a prayer to Saint Lorenzo. Would you mind reading it?
Sure.
It's so beautiful. This is the first one. And this is all for the Philippine people. So,
this is a prayer to San Lorenzo Ruiz de Manila. Beloved San Lorenzo Ruiz de Manila, confronted with death, you proclaim your readiness to die 1,000 times for your Christian faith. Today, the whole world admires your courage. We feel particularly proud of you, our brother, and we pray you, a family man, protect our families. Keep them united in love. You, who bore your sufferings with patience and resignations, intercede for the sick of mind and body. Help them to receive the grace of God, miraculous healing. You who died in a foreign country, take care of Filipino, living and working in this country and in other parts of the world. You, an example of Christian fortitude, sustain our faith and make it spread and grow strong all around us. You, the Philippines' first saint, be the country's special protector. Unite us as one people. Help us to work in harmony for development and progress. And give us peace. Amen. San Lorenzo Ruiz, please pray for us.
Amen.
You know, you brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah, you really
read it so
that
beautifully. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And you know, the whole outcome of our program is our God reigns, doesn't he?
True.
Our God reigns. Romeo, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Wonderful. Thank you for being here.
Nice and a pleasure.
Thank you. Please come back again.
And listeners, we'll see you next week.
And say a prayer for our listeners when you get a chance.
Oh, before I lose the microphone, next Friday at St. Aidan's in Williston Park, We're doing a healing service.
Yes, and I'll be there.
Good.
And I'll be there.
What church is that?
Aiden's in Williston Park.
And Sunday the 2nd is the street fair in Farmingdale.
All right. I'll see you there.
You Philippines, come on down. I want to see you.
Thank you.
John Paul II's favorite new contemporary song in English. Think about the man that has made that statement. He's a man who's been shot at, he's been ridiculed, he's been resisted, sometimes by people who don't believe in Christ, sometimes by those who do, and sometimes even by those within his own church. This man keeps going. He goes into the areas of darkness of the world and proclaims the gospel. Now, the Pope is not so unusual, really. All of us are called to have this faith. All of us are called to go into the darkness to shine the light of Christ. So I'd like us to sing at this time, knowing that we too might be shot at. We too might be ridiculed. We too might be resisted, but we must keep going. The reason we can keep going is because we know that our God reigns, that Jesus has risen as he said. Alleluia. So lift your voices now.
Our God reigns.